Welcome to Books in the Biz, the show where real-world business meets real-world results. Hosted by business strategist Dan Paulson and veteran CFO Richard Beltre, this podcast breaks down the stories, trends, and financial insights shaping today's companies. Dan brings decades of experience helping leaders simplify operations, build strong cultures, and scale with confidence. Rich adds his deep financial expertise from guiding organizations across healthcare, construction, logistics, and professional services. Together, they dig into what's really happening behind the numbers and what it means for owners, executives, and anyone trying to grow a stronger, smarter business. This is practical conversation, real talk, and tools you can use right now. Welcome to Books in the Biz.
Welcome back to Books in the Biz. Rich, what's gas prices look like in your neck of the woods?
I don't know.
Well, that's a good sign. That means you're not buying enough gas.
Either I'm not buying enough gas or I know I have to buy it anyway, so I just don't look.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Yeah, here in the Midwest, I think it's hovering right around $4 a gallon right now. And there's a reason why we're bringing up this subject, because today we are talking about everything from rising oil prices to tariffs to inflation to what the heck does this mean to your business, your company, and what you're doing. So, Rich, as we were sitting here talking about this before we went live on this, what are some of the issues you're seeing out there with what's happening in our business world today?
The biggest problems that I see, I mean, oil prices is one, right? Because it changes from Friday to Monday, depending on the whim of, I don't know. I don't really understand it. I wish I did.
It changes from Friday morning to Friday afternoon, actually.
Yeah, probably. I was being generous. But I mean, it's a culmination of so many things that started with the beginning of the year and the loss of the healthcare subsidies, right? So if you're a business owner and you are being basically attacked just about, I would say, on a daily basis with something new, right? There's some other reason why everything goes up. Healthcare subsidies was the first one. If you didn't go up 30%, good for you. You know, if you didn't go up, it was 30% just on top of your normal increase. So, you know, it was a shocker. And then you go into the fact that everything else is costing more money between tariffs and everything else that have set a new stage. You know, it caused you to have to rethink everything that you've done, everything that you've planned, everything that you paid. And it's all changing so much now. Budget season was in the fall. Like, normal budgets were prepared in like September, October, so that they could be approved by year end. And year end seems to be where everything started to go flip-flop. Like, it's all over the place. So you start adding that everything is costing you more money, your health insurance, your benefits for everybody in your organization, your, you know, administrative costs, because everybody that you're paying now has to pick up their costs. Like, they have to figure out how to do a deal with you that's different. And you were not prepared to have to spend all that time doing new deals. So you're spending a lot of time and a lot of money on extra things that you weren't planned for. And now you're kind of sitting back and saying, whoa, why is this like not coming out anywhere near what I thought it was going to come out to be? So it's a frustrating first half, I will tell you that.
Well, this year has been, I would call it a wild card year, because it seems like everything that you could, I mean, gas prices always fluctuate. They go up, they go down. You know, you're probably better off not looking at it or worrying about it all that much. But with the political climate, with what's happening overseas, we're seeing prices jump you know, 20, 30, 40, 50 cents, where, you know, normally those prices might change by 10 or 20 cents one way or the other, depending upon actually the seasonality time of the year. The other issue that I think many businesses are kind of looking at is the tariff situation. Because one day tariffs go away, the next day there's a fire, and all of a sudden now we're tariffing the crap out of somebody else to supposedly pay for the cost that we're incurring due to wildfires and whatnot. And it just doesn't seem to follow any pattern that anyone can safely budget on.
No.
So now the question really comes down to, and why we're sitting here talking about this, at some point, you have or are going to raise your prices, or you are going to be afraid to raise your prices because you're going to lose customers. And, you know, we're here to kind of talk about maybe some ideas or some strategies you need to apply. And this is where I'll lean on you a little bit, Rich, because I think the first part of this is more from the financial side, is kind of the quicker execution of it. And then it comes to the operation side, which in my opinion takes just a little bit longer to kind of implement. But this is also where, as you know, as we're putting the budget at this too, we're also getting ready for our next round of budgeting, because it's going to be a couple months from now and people are going to start talking about strategic planning and budgeting for next year. Now what do you do? So I think this is a good area to start. So, you know, from your perspective, what are you seeing companies do as far as choosing to raise prices or not choosing to raise prices?
Well, I can tell you that the mad scientists running companies went one way or the other, right? They're completely into cut costs and you know, increase prices. And other people basically said, you know, cut costs, don't increase prices. It's like a mad gamut of black versus white. There's no gray whatsoever with those people. So they're either hog wild on, hey, guess what? We raised prices by 100% or, you know, or they didn't want to do anything. They're just kind of hiding in the closet, hoping that, you know, everything will go and blow over. And then there's the ones in the gray area that are kind of asking me, what should we do? And the hardest part is I like to try to ask them, you know, do we think that the effect of the reason why you have to raise prices is your normal progression of what you're trying to do with the product that you're selling? Or is there a longer term effect that, you know, you're in, you know, in the tariff target, you know, or your costs have just gone up through the ceiling? Like, is it a short-term burst or is it a long-term, it's here forever? And that's the part that becomes the hard decision. Because I think if it's a short-term burst, I would really question whether or not you want to alienate any customers by increasing prices. Because again, if you're in a price-conscious kind of industry and you raise a penny, you know, there are people who will run for the hills. Or if you have a close competitor and their pricing is close, they may run to somebody else. So like there's a whole analysis that's going into, should you increase prices? And if it's short term, maybe you try to weather it. You know, is there a way that you can implement something else that helps you maintain your profit level while your, you know, gross sales might actually stay the same rather than, you know, massive increase to cover costs? You know, which I think in the long term is what you have to do. If you know you're in a long-term industry, you have to start being honest and saying, hey guys, I can't do this forever. And then another analysis on top of that is, how long can you make it? Like, what cash do you have? Can you go through this? If one of your clients was to leave, what would you suffer? You know, what would happen to you? So there's projections, there's analysis, there's decision-making, and then you always have to leave a little bit of room for your gut feel. Like, should I do this? Should I not do this? I mean, there's plenty of business owners that I've met who have very close relationships with the people who buy from them. And so what is everybody seeing? What is everybody thinking? Like, what's your collective kind of thought pattern? Like, you know, being honest sometimes really just becomes the best policy. You're just putting it out on the table and saying, you know, we don't want to do this, but if we don't, you're not going to get anything from us in 6 months, a year. That's that analysis that says, here's how long I can make it. But without those things, you know, you're flying blind and you're, you know, hope is not a strategy.
Definitely not. No, that would be my wife. One of the things that you have brought up in the past is, you know, some people think of the money they have as money in a barrel. And as long as there's money in that barrel, they're good. To me, this is the perfect example of where how much money in that barrel and how much of it is allocated already to other expenses, anything from payroll to purchases to money you're waiting for from clients, because typically most people don't get paid instantly. There's usually a 30, maybe 60 day window where they're recouping, you know, what they're supposed to be paid. And if you don't really know how that barrel is allocated, that's where things, in my opinion, get a little scary, because it might look like you're cash rich, but if 90% of that cash is already allocated towards other expenses, that's going to be a short-term fix. And there are a lot of business owners that I know don't check their P&Ls, don't check their cash flow on a daily basis or even a weekly or monthly basis. It's just kind of like, well, if it's there, it's there, as long as everything's good. But that could quickly mean that, you know, in a couple months you could be underwater and really struggling with, you know, how are you going to recover from this? You know, in my world, less the financial, I do monitor that. But, you know, here's where if you were going to optimize your business and figure out how to work more efficiently, I think now's the time to do it. Because if you haven't considered that or aren't considering that this fall when you're kind of getting into that planning season, you really need to think about how do you maximize service but minimize the workflow that needs to create that service. And, you know, here's kind of what I mean by that. If you don't have things in place that allow your people to work efficiently, for example, everything has to run through the business owner or the executives, well, that creates bottlenecks that slow down the process, that gets costly over time. In my world, that's a hidden cost. For example, you don't see that right away. You might know it's there, but it's very hard to put your finger on it until several weeks or months down the road, where all of a sudden projects are supposed to be done at a certain time, they're getting delayed, or there's a lot of reworks going on that shouldn't be happening. And that's where I see some of the larger issues happening, because that really impacts your world, where now from a financial standpoint, you're asking the question, do we raise prices or do we not? I'm looking at it going, well, you know, if you don't change anything, something's got to give. And, you know, maybe that's where it comes into the financial side, where you do have to raise prices. But as you pointed out, you know, there's a threshold to that. Some companies, if you're doing high volume, low dollar stuff, like you said, a penny price change could directly impact that company wanting to do business with you, especially if there's a number of competitors out there that are more efficient and are better at what they're doing. I don't know. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, I think you're 100% right. I think there is a threshold. Threshold's a great word I didn't use. but I mean, if you think about it, you're selling at a high, you know, high volume and low dollar. I mean, $1.99 versus $2, you know, well, I'm not going to pay $2 for that. Oh, for $1.99, I'll do it. it's literally that close. It's all mental. So, you know, their perception is that they're getting better at $1.99. I think just to add to that too, I mean, you're 100% right. By the time it gets into my wheelhouse, usually, you know, the damage is done. Mm-hmm. And we're just kind of reporting and recording it. But here's the other kind of wrinkle, I think, to add to that. So many small businesses run their financials, even if they do look at them, they run them on the cash basis. Why? Mostly that's a tax push. They want to know what they're going to have to pay in taxes. So they want that number to say that cash basis is what I'm going to report on my tax return. Cash basis doesn't give you any insight into future at all. Mm. You know, it's what happened, what went through your bank account. That's what it comes down to. So when you sit there and say, gee, I don't think I really want to do accrual basis financials, you don't know who owes you money. You don't know who you owe money. You don't, you know, you might know debt, but you don't know accounts payable. You don't know your other vendors that you owe money to. So, you know, those factors come into play here. And if you don't have that and you don't know that, you know, which we've talked about before, so many business owners know what's money in the bank, what's money that's owed to them. Very few of them can tell you what they owe other vendors, unless it's a big bill for something big that they didn't want to spend on the first place. Then they know all about it. But right. The small stuff, they don't know nothing about it. Just put it on the credit card, be done with it, get it out of here. I don't need to think about it. So accounts payable becomes a real weird zero. I'm expecting that accounts payable will be coming back. Like it's going to be an increased piece where people are going to have to start paying attention to when they owe other people money, not where it's become. I feel like maybe I'm going off on a side. You'll pull me back.
Sure, I'll rope you back in.
So I'm seeing where, you know, banking has changed, right? People don't want to use checks anymore, right? Most of the people have moved at least some way to electronic payment methods, okay? And it's made things easier, okay? But from a financial standpoint, okay, if the bill comes in and you pay it immediately, okay, there's no float. It's out.
Right.
It's gone, right? So you've paid faster, and no one's paid attention to whether or not people have paid you faster. What about
Here's the other thing. So if they're not doing funds transfer or anything like that, and they are still sending invoices or sending checks in the mail, I've noticed this lately, and you tell me if this is the same out in your neck of the woods, but I'll just use since it was my birthday last 2 weeks ago. My mother sent me a card on Monday. My birthday was on Thursday. The card was postmarked on Wednesday, and I did not receive the card until a week after my birthday. I am also seeing the situation where everything from checks to invoices that I'm supposed to pay are now showing up on the day or the day before they're actually due. Well, now if you cut a check and you throw it back in the mail, guess what? You're late. Now there's fees and penalties on some of that stuff.
Yeah.
So we're getting less reliant, or I should say we are seeing less reliable mail service, because it used to be you could just mail something out and you get it the next day. You know, you use my birthday card as an example. My mother lives, she could have walked here and it would have been a 50-mile walk, but she could have got here quicker than that card showed up. And that's kind of the nature of things, because now they've centralized where mail is processed, which means it goes from what was processed at the post office, your local post office. And then if it was in town, it was routed through town. It didn't, half the time they didn't even stamp the darn envelope. But now you look at it, it goes maybe 200 miles away, sits in a processing center for a day or two, and then gets sent off to other areas. And it could take a week or better now for mail to show up. So if we're going to go off tangent, I guess this is one to go off tangent about, because it goes back to that whole float situation. It's getting harder to rely on that float when you need to, where you could buy a couple extra days by mailing out a check, because now you might absorb it in penalties if you try to do that. And I think here's kind of where we swing back to now, how do we get more efficient and how do we optimize what we're doing to determine, do we need to raise prices or not? And that gets harder to do when you haven't taken a look at how your business works recently and just assume everything's going to be fine. So I think that comes back to where you got to really bring somebody in, or you got to spend a lot of time yourself trying to figure out what's going to happen when, you know, that bill shows up late, or when that payment shows up late, you know, what you're going to do. And also, how much cash do you have on hand? Can you weather the storm? Because are the tariffs going to go away next week, next month, next year, when there's a new president? Who knows? And we can't always prepare for these situations, but we got to do something to kind of protect ourselves to make sure our business is going to be viable in the future.
Yeah, it's, and then what's the other thing? The unknown, right? Not just, mm-hmm. okay, we know this and he could trigger new ones tomorrow. He keeps going back to, this is the answer to the world. I don't know mm-hmm. that it is, but that's, I'm not running the country. So, you know, what else is going to come out? I mean, there's only, in my eyes, there's only so many things that can actually be touched. And yet we seem to want to touch all of them. You know, there's not enough time to keep doing all the things that we're trying to accomplish and seeing whether or not they work. It's like the assumption is that they work. They're not working for anybody else. You know, there are 360 million people in this country. And, you know, a fair number of them are on their own as far as independent business owners. And there's a fair number of them now that I think they said the other day that more and more people have actually signed on to the entrepreneurial path. There's right. more companies being open for individual people to go out on their own than there's ever been. And, you know, you start looking at it and going, you know, these are all changes in the pattern, right? I've built half of my career on pattern recognition and pattern following, right? Mm-hmm. And then you basically sit there and you go, hey, guess what? There's no pattern for this. And so now you're trying to kind of predict, which was never, you know, my job was always to predict based on relevant information that was given to me. Mm-hmm. And now it's pick the pattern or project the pattern based on anything, like whatever. And that becomes hard. So it's, if it's hard to project, I have to imagine as another business owner, it's got to be hard to even think about, because you're like dealing with today and then trying to deal with tomorrow, which has significant uncertainty.
Yeah. And I think you pointed out something that's key to all this is, you know, most business owners are not IBM or 3M or Microsoft. You know, they have more ability to weather the storm because their bank accounts are much bigger. And they also kind of control that fluctuation to some degree, because guess what? If you need a new computer because your old one's broke, you're going to go buy a new computer regardless on if it's, you know, 20% more expensive than last year or not. You might look for some better deal somewhere, but ultimately the prices all kind of start leveling out and they're about the same unless you go to something that's higher end. But when you're a small business owner, you're really kind of stuck with what you have to get from other people. And especially if you're a startup business owner, you're still trying to figure everything out on your own. So that makes it difficult. And that's where I think a lot of small to medium sized companies sit here and scratch their head and go, well, what do I do? Do I raise my prices or don't I raise my prices? Because if something fluctuates for me, it could mean in 3 months I'm out of cash, where maybe I do have to change my pricing. But if I change my pricing, okay, do I lose that customer that's, you know, 50% of my business? And there are a number of companies out there that have all their eggs in one basket, per se. So that really is a sign of where you need to look at your strategies and figure out what you're going to do differently, because if you continue doing the same thing over and over again, it's not going to lead to a better result.
No. Yeah, I don't want to call it a frustrating time, because that's just Mr. Negative.
Yeah.
I will say difficult. I will not say frustrating, I'll say difficult. It's difficult because there's not a playbook. You mm-hmm. can't go back to 1945 and say, here's what they did in 1945 and it actually worked and it'll work again. Like, you're dealing with technology differences, you're dealing with money differences, you're dealing with government differences, pricing differences. And I think to a certain extent, some of this was probably cooking already. And it's just somebody opened the wrong valve, mm-hmm. right? I think it's the wrong valve. Maybe it'll all turn around, but I see a bit of a mess or a bit of a correction that needs to happen on the small business, especially the small business side and the medium business side, because the costs are hitting right there. you know, the bigger you are, the more, you know, economies of scale you can find, you know, but the smaller you are, it gets really difficult and it gets really scary.
Yeah.
Right? Because you're trying to figure out and you don't have that, you know, support network saying, you know, well, we don't feel it. Here's what you should do. No, we're all feeling it. So everybody's saying we're all feeling it. And that leads to no solution. So that's the problem that I see. There's a little bit of a bottleneck in getting anything going because nobody knows where to go. Nobody knows which direction to head.
Yep. And that, you know, you bring up another good point where how many of these small to medium-sized companies support maybe a larger business? You know, for example, look at the automotive industry. I would guess there's a number of suppliers that aren't super huge. They're probably fairly good-sized companies, but, you know, I just think of the $20 to $50 million companies that are out there that are probably providing anything from gears to sprockets to, you know, you name it. They're providing something at volume, and they're getting pushback from those larger companies, you know, that because the companies that can do things at economy scales are, for example, like the Walmarts and Targets of the world that can sit there and push back and say, well, if we're going to buy 2 million units from you, this is what we're willing to pay for that 2 million units. Can you do it for that price or not? And if you can't, then we're going to go find somebody else who can.
Right.
And for some companies, that's what I said, that could be, you know, 50% of your business. Well, you might capitulate to them because you need that volume in order to stay in business. But what's that costing you long term if you haven't done things to turn around and figure out how to work more efficiently and perform better?
Yeah. I mean, you know, news, what, a week or so ago, GM took a $10 billion write-off on just restructuring their electric vehicle program.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, you know, GM doesn't do something like that without a plan, you know, that, you know, we just booked $10 billion. And basically that's the announcement to let everybody know that we're taking this write-off. Somebody pays for that, you know, someone pays for that. So who is it? You know, not the CEO.
When you need to buy a new car and you decide to buy a new Chevy.
You know, so, you know, they make that announcement. They're letting everybody know, hey, guess what? We did this. And it's in the pricing. It's in the vendor negotiations. It's in those internal invoices going around. So, you know, it all sounds like, hey, look at that. They're fixing everything. No, they're somebody's paying for that.
Yeah. And as we're kind of wrapping up here, so what should people do, you know, from a financial perspective, what's kind of the, as you said, there's really no playbook anymore, but if you were going to walk somebody through the step-by-step of what you would do from a CFO perspective, what do you see that would need to take place?
Well, I think that people could definitely, you know, feel free, give me an email. Let's see what you might have as far as options go. And I think right now we're developing a new playbook. So the more people that get together and kind of say, these are the problems and they accept these are the problems, and we come up with a combined strategy as well as a very individual kind of use of that strategy, I think that everybody can still kind of get through it. And one of these days things are going to stabilize. It's just a matter of when,
right? You know,
how much time do we think it's going to be? How much time do we see? Are there going to be other political events or global events that are going to change things for us? You know, everybody's going to have a bit of a theory on that. So somewhere along the line, you got to take a little bit of a flyer and say, yes, I agree with that, you know, or I don't. And that way you can develop your own new playbook. So I'm more than happy to talk to anybody who wants to talk about where can we come up with this new playbook. Very interested. So feel free to give me a call and I'll help wherever I can.
Yeah, I think that goes across the board. So from my end, if you're not thinking about ways to get your people working more efficiently now, now's a good time. Because from my perspective, I don't see anything changing for the next 6 months. I think we're going to see continual fluctuations up and down over the course of the rest of this year, at least, and hopefully maybe some stabilization by next year. But there's too many wild cards involved, and they're well beyond our control. So you kind of have to figure out how to ride with it. And the first place to do that, the best place to control, is what can you manage yourself? What do you have full control over? You have control over how your people perform. You have control over what new technology or equipment you use to bring in your business to make it run more efficiently. Having the processes in place to make sure that you're doing things the most optimal way possible, and you're continually reviewing and updating that, because that's usually where the waste happens. And that waste, again, isn't found today. It's found 2 months from now when it shows up in your P&Ls or on your balance sheet, because, you know, why are we getting more defects? Why is the product taking longer to produce? Why is it costing us more money? Oh, by the way, we also have higher wages. We have higher benefit costs, as you pointed out. You know, all these things come into play, and nobody likes to see their benefits cut. Nobody likes to see large scale unemployment. So you've got to figure out a way to manage that more effectively in order to be successful and be better than the next guy who's not going to do anything. They're going to sit on their hands and hope everything's going to pass over. And probably you're going to find out the hard way that that's not how this is going to work out. All right, Rich, if they need to get a hold of you, what's the best way to do it?
Best email, rich@xcxo.net.
And you can get a hold of me at dan@xcxo.net. I think this is also a great opportunity. We have that 20 questions where we can come in and give you kind of a high level view of maybe some things you should look at or should change. So I'd recommend checking us out for that. Rich, as always, is fun. We will talk to you again next week.
All right. Sounds good.
All right. Take care.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Books and the Biz. If today's conversation sparked new ideas for your company, the team at XCXO can help you turn those ideas into action. XCXO brings together seasoned executives, fractional CEOs, COOs, CFOs, and CXOs, who step into your business with the experience, strategy, and leadership to drive real results. Whether you're trying to scale, strengthen operations, improve profitability, or prepare for transition, our experts help you move faster and lead with confidence. To learn more or start a conversation, visit xcxo.net. That's xcxo.net, your shortcut to stronger leadership and a better run business. Thanks again for joining us. We'll see you next time on Books and the Biz.